Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Yes, we're back. I know we've been sporadic, but we are here tonight. I am JT, 8K, the master, and I am joined by my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy, my brother from another mother, Jeff the Joker. We make up the FSP crew show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me and the fantasy football, not fantasy football, it's an FSP crew show. I'm all over the place, people. Tonight I'm all over the place. I'm trying to watch some games and other things. But before I even get into it, let's bring my esteemed co-host, like I said, a brother from another mother, for the Jersey guy. They call him the Joker. I call him Jeff. What's up?
Thanks for the intro, Jerry. Happy to be here. Let's do the show.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have tonight, Jeff, three games on tap in the preseason. One's going to be on ESPN. The other one, I think, is maybe on the NFL Network. And I think Baltimore and Miami are going to probably be replayed sometime after midnight, either midnight or sometime after that. But there's three games going on right now. I mean, they're being played right now. Baltimore and Miami, Buffalo at Philadelphia, Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. And let me say this. I am enjoying, I don't know if you've caught it. I didn't catch it this past Tuesday. I got to go back and look at it because I've been recording it. But I have to watch how interesting, some people I've listened to, Jeff, on some group chats that I'm on, about their interest or their likeness, I should say, or whatever you want to put it, of how they like what's going on Hard Knocks featuring the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. And their number two draft pick from last year, Roberto Aguayo, got canned this week. A number two draft pick from the 2016 season. I know he's a kicker, and kickers are whatever, but he was the number two pick last year. And I think they moved up to get this guy last year at their number two pick. Not the number two pick in the draft, but Tampa Bay's number two pick. And Roberto Aguayo got the boot. Like I said, I watched the first one, but I haven't watched it this past week, Tuesday. That I don't know if the country's falling in love with them, but they are becoming more aware, if not aware of it, be even more aware of Jameis Winston and his personality. What's your thoughts?
You know, Aguayo getting cut caught my eye. Of course, like a lot of people, when they drafted him in the second round, it caught my eye. I think people have told me I obsess a little over special teams. And, you know, being a Giants fan will make you do that because they've had their special teams woes over the years, you know.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
But the thing is, you know, during the Parcells era, they had very good special teams, and that was something he prioritized. But kickers drove him crazy, you know. But, you know, they had some pretty decent ones, but they had a little stretch where they were going through a few different guys. Believe me, I'm sure Aguayo is going to get another shot in the NFL. It just goes to show you it's very risky to draft a kicker early. And one of the reasons not to is you don't have to. You know, you could wait till late in the draft or even after the draft to get a kicker. And recently when Morten Andersen was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, he spoke about his rookie year was a little rocky. And, you know, he was very grateful that Bum Phillips stood by him. And believe me, he benefited that franchise for many years afterwards, even after Phillips had, was no longer the coach. Yeah, you know, and that's another reason why I don't think he was going early in drafts. You don't want to have your fantasy drafts too early. And even with kickers, that's a position where sometimes right before the season, a team will make a move. They'll see somebody they like becomes available, and then they'll make the move. And that's why it's good that if for your fantasy league, you have a few days between the draft and the start of the season, you know, to adjust for those situations. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people know Jameis Winston for an off-the-field incident back when he was at Florida State. But, you know, he seems like a guy who's, I don't know, trying to do the right thing. Maybe it's just for show. I mean, I don't know him personally. But, hey, he won a championship in college. I really think he wants to be the guy. You know, I don't think he's trying to be you know, the prima donna. I think he's trying to be the leader of a winning team. And, you know, I have nothing against him. I hope it works out, except when they're playing the Giants, you know.
Yeah, you know, the there's supposedly some high expectations for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the additions of O.J. Howard and Deshaun Watson, and 1 year more of maturation for Jameis Winston and that whole team, Mike Evans and company, and improvement on the defense, which they needed. They're not going to be a surprise team to a lot of people, especially the teams in the NFL, because of what's taking place in Tampa. And we have a caller from the 336, which I do believe that is North Carolina. Caller from the 336, welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and what you have to say.
Evening, fellas. My name is Frank. I'm calling from North Carolina. How are you guys doing tonight?
Not bad, man.
Pretty
how
good.
You been?
Pretty good.
Not too bad. Hey, how do you think Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown are going to link up this year? You think they're going to make it happen this year or what?
Jeff, you want to take that first or you want me?
I'll tell you, Antonio Brown is probably one of the safest bets in fantasy, especially in a PPR league.
Yeah, he's got a huge top, yeah.
And with Roethlisberger, I mean, I think he's still regarded as a very good fantasy quarterback, maybe not consistent. You know, he tends to have really big games, and then maybe he'll have a few games that aren't so big. And also, he might miss a couple games, so you want to make sure you got a halfway decent backup for him. But I think that combination will continue to produce.
My take on it is this. Ben Roethlisberger is a good Heinz Field quarterback. On the road, it's a different Ben Roethlisberger. His numbers really drop on the road. And so just like Jeff had suggested, it's good to get a viable backup, especially when Ben's on the road. Especially against a good defense, and especially against the Ravens or the what's the other team? Cincinnati on the road. Cleveland maybe not so much, but especially against the division rivals on the road, Ben Roethlisberger has a tendency not to have big games, and even though that won't affect Antonio Brown. And my other question is this: since you couple those two guys together, and I'm just assuming is that you're thinking about putting both of these guys
on. If I didn't have those guys coupled together, I would have probably Brown, behind, of course. And it's can he fit his cock all the way up Ben's asshole?
I knew that was happening. I had my mouse over the X because I had a funny feeling that was going to happen. Now, and I'm surprised it took that long. I'm surprised it took that long because I had a funny feeling when he first jumped on there. I thought he was going to say something, but he kind of lured us in, and then he decided to do that. It's all right. It's all right. Thank you for about a half a minute or maybe a minute of the call. But the other part of that we can do without. And you just, whoever was listening, you just made it is what it is. I'm not going to premise it any further than that. So,
you got a popular podcast when you get the prank callers and there's a guy, I don't know if he's still doing it, but, there's a guy who used to love to, prank call and in the chat room. Mm-hmm. And I got to admit, once in a while, he was a little bit funny. But you know what it is? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And part of that guy's shtick was talking about, like, before NFL games that there was going to be, like, some big weather disaster for, like, half the country. But a couple times, it was true.
Wow.
Because
wow,
remember when we had that snowstorm in October?
Yep.
And he's in the chat room saying, oh, we're having a blizzard on the East Coast this weekend. The people in the chat room said, oh, get the F out of here, man. It's like,
right.
I'm like, no, we're going to have a big snowstorm on Halloween weekend. And then there was a hurricane around Labor Day weekend, around opening day. And I think Houston had to postpone their game. Yeah, that's just part of the podcast to get these occasional pranks. And, I've heard pranks on, New York sports talk radio, and that cracks me up because those guys got to sit on hold for a while. Right? They got to get by the screener, and then usually the host could hit the dump button, but on very rare occasions, they don't hit the dump button. And I once heard a prank about Isaiah Thomas, and it wasn't really what the prankster said. It was the host's response, because I think he was ticked off at the screener, and I was rolling on the ground laughing for that one.
Okay. So back to Tampa Bay. Now, like what I had ended before I picked up the caller, it was that the Tampa Bay has high expectations. We got another caller here from the 513. I don't know if I should answer this or not. I'm gonna take a chance, Jeff, and answer it and see what happens. I got a feeling that we're going to get bombarded with these today, but we'll see what happens. Caller from the 513. We had a bad experience with the 336 North Carolina. Where are you calling from, and what's your name?
Hey, yeah, you did. I'm calling from Cincinnati. How you guys doing?
Hi, how's it going, man? What's
God
up?
God damn it, I heard that fucking guy.
Yep. I think we're getting it today, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess some guys have some time on their hands.
I think they're getting it today for whatever reason. I wasn't there here last week, and for whatever reason this week, they decided to lay it on us. What can I tell you? Maybe, hey, Jeff, the other one, the guy went from North Carolina, this one's from Cincinnati. Maybe these guys are buddy buddies and say, I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to go any further. What's the sense? I may not take any callers if I don't recognize a number. Let me put it that way. I do know some people, numbers that call in, Vic and I'm trying to think of his name now. From
Nas
from Atlanta. But these other calls, I may not be taking any more calls because it looks like it's open season on the FSP Cruise Show. Anyway.
And it's a full moon tonight.
Anyway, Tampa Bay. We got a call from the 561. I'm not taking that call. Not taking that call. I'm sorry, callers. If I don't recognize your number now, I do appreciate you calling. But if you're going to do what the last two callers have done, it is not going to happen. You can hang on for as long as you like, but if you got some foul language or some foul things to say, you will not get airtime on here. So if you want to hold on, you can. Maybe if you hold on for as long as you hold on for, I may think you're sincere. But if not, it is what it is. Anyway, Tampa Bay is not going to be a surprise anymore. And I think they're going to sneak up on because I think they're not, I wouldn't say loaded for bear, but they seem to have getting their pieces in together with a quarterback that's maturing. And there's high expectations, but they are in a competitive, very competitive conference. I mean, division, I should say, with Atlanta last year's Super Bowl. One of the teams that were in the Super Bowl. You got a Carolina team that's got a quarterback that's rehabbing or coming back from a shoulder surgery, and a Carolina team that's added some great pieces to be more dynamic on offense in Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel, along with a slimmed down Kelvin Benjamin. And then you also have the New Orleans Saints that are trying to improve that defense, but have one more year with Drew Brees. Still have Mark Ingram, but added a Hall of Fame running back in Adrian Peterson that is trying to go back to the way they used to play and got the way they used to play, which got them to the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl championship. So, and then you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trying to leap over those guys or make some strides themselves to put themselves into the playoffs. Very competitive division, Jeff. What's your thoughts on Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans?
That looks like a very strong division, especially yep. For fantasy football. A lot of offensive weapons on those teams. As far as the quarterbacks go, Cam Newton doesn't look ready. And, I'd be shocked if he doesn't start the first game. But, you know, coming off the surgery and lack of throwing in the preseason, he can get off to a slow start. And believe me, in fantasy, I hate slow starts. You know, I want my team to come out smoking. It's a short season. You can't mm-hmm. wait till October for guys to start rocking. So, for fantasy, I like Cam Newton because he brings the running dimension into it. But, I think they're trying to get him to run less, but that's tough. If that's your style, you know, that's tough to totally change. But they bring Christian McCaffrey, who a lot of people are high on, and he's going early in mocks, and people have already started real drafts because he should be catching a lot of balls coming out of the backfield.
Okay. I'm going to give this person from from Palm Beach County down in Florida a chance to see what they have to say. Caller from Palm Beach County, This is JT, aka the Master. State your name and tell me what you got to say.
Hey, just JT representing Palm Beach. How you doing?
Okay, how you doing, my man?
I got a giant cock in my butt.
That's it, Jeff. I've had enough. I've had enough. It must be a full moon out there because I have no idea out of the clear blue sky. Now, Jeff, I don't think we've been on here. We weren't here. Definitely weren't on last week. And the week before, I'm not sure if we were on it. So I have no idea why these guys are all of a sudden calling in back to back to back and acting the way they want to act. So, hey, go watch some football games, man. There's some football games. In fact, guy from Florida, you got one of your Florida teams playing. I don't know if you happen to be one of them, but go ahead and watch one of the Florida teams playing them. What are you spending your time talking to New Jersey guys? Not that we don't appreciate it, but if you come better, we would have talked to you. Anyway, Le'Veon Bell. All right, we're jumping from the NFC to the AFC. Jumping from a guy that's and a team that's in all in camp and participating in camp, but to a guy that is not in camp and for all intents and purposes doesn't look like he's planning to report before week one of the season. Jeff, you and I know, man, this is a classic setup, and I would be. I hate to be the one that has, in fantasy, the number two pick or number one pick or the first three picks in fantasy and not draft this guy because you and I know, and I think you know where I'm going, anytime a guy holds out and decides to come in when the season starts or just after the season starts, nine times out of ten, he gets hurt. And it's out for an extended period of time. What's your thoughts?
You know, I agree with that. I've said that, but there are some exceptions. But you don't remember the exceptions. And also, I think for holdouts or guys missing camp, the ones that really stand out are the rookies because those are the guys who really need it. But I remember Marshall Faulk. He missed a lot of training camp his first year with the Rams. But, you know, Marshall Faulk's an exceptional player, probably doesn't need camp as much as some other guys. I think Steven Jackson once had a very good year after missing a couple weeks of camp. There's a few others, but overall, I don't like that. There's a reason they have training camp, believe me. If the teams could get away without it, they would, because they'd save a lot of money. Well, then again, they wouldn't be able to charge full price for those bogus preseason games. But really, you have to have preseason. If you don't have preseason, then you look like the XFL or something. You look really sloppy. I remember, and this was a knee jerk reaction after the Minnesota Vikings lineman who died during training camp, whose name escapes me at the moment. After he passed away, there was some semi-intelligent people saying, oh, they should abolish training camp. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. You're probably putting guys more at risk if you get rid of training camp. It's like saying, I don't know, if you accidentally cut yourself, abolish knives. You know, how are you going to cut your food? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Corey Stringer, that was his name.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way, Jeff. And the reason why I brought him up is because that he has a history of being injured and not being able to play full games. And the problem is this, with a guy that has a history of being injured, how about this? In 2013, and this is I'm going by year by year, Only a year that it hasn't happened was 2016, from what I'm seeing here. August in 2013, he suffered a Lisfranc sprain in preseason and was forced to sit out the first three games of the regular season. Same year, later in the football year, in the regular season, in 2013, had a minor concussion in late November, but didn't miss any game action, okay? But he had a grade one cranial concussion. 2014, knee ACL pull, hyperextended his knee after taking a low hit in game 17 against the Bengals, missed a wild card game in the Pro Bowl. 2015, MCL tear, grade 3. Tore his MCL in week 9. He had surgery, and he was placed on the IR. So from week 9 to the end of the season, they missed him. Last year, the past January, had a groin sports hernia. Supposedly, he had been playing through it late in the year. But he never appeared on an injury report. He re-injured it in an AFC title game this past season. So he has and the reason why I specifically brought Le'Veon Bell up is because his history, his injury history of missing games, especially in the last two, three seasons of missing games. And holding out is just going to, in my opinion, even though he may be working out and working like a dog, it's different from working out and being in football shape and thinking he'll be able to come in week one and perform throughout from week one on and not sustain some type of injury that's going to put him out of games. The history lately suggests otherwise. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, with me, I don't like to roll the dice with my early picks.
Yep.
There's plenty of chances to gamble later on. I mean, Bell is an exceptional talent. He does seem to do well. He seems to recover well from injuries, but he's had his share. And I'm thinking it seems, when I was a kid, in the late 70s and the 80s, it seemed like holdouts were very common. And then for a long time, they became much less common. I think they're on the increase for whatever reasons. And the worst is the rookies. That it's too many rookies have wasted seasons that started with lengthy holdouts. To me, it hurts the value of Bell a little bit, actually a lot. Some people, like to gamble, whatever. I don't, not with the high picks.
Yeah, and it's a dilemma that anybody that's got the first three picks, because it's almost a guarantee that he's going to go within the first three picks of any fantasy league, unless, just like you're talking about, no one wants to roll the dice on a player that for the last three seasons has some injuries concerns and can cost you, because if he's a top three pick or if he's a high top round one pick, you're depending on that guy to give you some very good numbers. And if that person happens to go down or not produce those numbers, it's going to hurt your collective team that much more. So you're right. I wouldn't roll the dice on that. I would go in another direction, let somebody else take that chance. If they pan out, fine. If they don't, at least I was more comfortable in taking somebody that I was more comfortable with than Le'Veon Bell that I could roll a 7 or a craps. And craps is not good when you're trying to win a fantasy league. Anyway, another guy that's not held out, but he's suspended. And a question was asked of your favorite commissioner on Thursday, today, Roger Goodell, about reinstating suspended Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon. And your favorite commissioner, Roger Goodell, said it's not under active consideration. At least it hasn't made it to my desk. Now, quite naturally, he was denied in May, but he can reapply again in September. He's 26, hasn't appeared in a game since December 2014. I don't know what's going on with Josh Gordon, but if he's still got the talent that he had when he splashed on the scene back in 2014, then he'd be worth a late flyer, really late flyer. But you won't find anything out until whatever time it's deemed necessary or deemed possible in September. And then quite naturally people will be scrambling for it. But a late flyer, I couldn't fault anybody for taking Josh Gordon for it in a late flyer and sitting on your bench and see what happens. And if he doesn't pan out, all you do is just drop him. Didn't cost you anything but a late round pick. Your thoughts? Josh Gordon, like I said, not eligible for reinstatement until September consideration.
You know, I mean, I think it's kind of overkill. I mean, you know, okay, you know, I mean, I know, even though it's legal in a few states, the NFL has a rule against marijuana, which is not performance enhancing. And, you know, I mean, Josh Gordon's a little immature because he failed a urine test afterwards. But, you know, you're depriving somebody a livelihood for marijuana. I mean, I don't recommend it, but, you know, it's not steroids. It's not heroin. You know, but this is just Goodell. And, you know, he is the self-styled disciplinarian of the NFL. And, you know, it's unfortunate about Josh Gordon because, you know, he had that one great season. And at this point, you know, I mean, he could probably overcome it, but should have a lot of rust. And the thing is, to review it in September, you know, hey, the guy, that's a guy who would definitely need training camp to, you know, be productive again. So, I don't understand. I guess that's part of the rules. And hopefully, you know, I don't know, this stuff could get straightened out with the next collective bargaining agreement, but I can't see that happening with Goodell still in the picture.
All right. Let's talk about this here. All right. I don't think we've gotten a chance to talk about these, and this would be a good time. Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Sean Kizer, Nate Peterman, Patrick Mahomes, all these quarterbacks, top five quarterbacks, I think I named five, top five quarterbacks on most people's draft. I may have not named them in order. I know Mitchell Trubisky was the number one pick. Number two pick, number one for the Chicago Bears. But I got to believe that a lot of people, football fans, and especially fans of those respective teams, maybe were optimistic but had low expectations for rookie quarterbacks because of all the so-called experts' opinions on the class of quarterbacks, including myself, that came out. Well, Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Kizer, and Deshaun Watson really showed what they were made of for the time that they were in there. Now, I understand that they weren't possibly in against the ones. They were going up against twos and threes. But for all intents and purposes, all the quarterbacks that I mentioned seemed to show very good poise and was able to move their offenses effectively down the field. Maybe some of them didn't win, but they showed a lot of promise that a lot of experts and analysts thought they didn't have. What's your thoughts? I don't know if you watched all these quarterbacks when they were out there, Jeff, in different games. But what's your thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Kaiser, Deshaun Watson, and Nate Peterman?
You know, for fantasy purposes, it's very hard to invest in a rookie quarterback. And that's kind of a good thing because, you know, it kind of – it's almost like for fantasy, the rookie year is the redshirt year, even if a guy's playing. I mean, there's a few minor exceptions, but I mean, I can't think of too many rookie quarterbacks who, even in a deep league, were a legit QB1. You know, the NFL needs quarterbacks, and they get these guys now very raw from college because a lot of them don't have experience under center, which is still very important in the NFL. Teams get excited. I think I saw some of Trubisky. I mean, he's got a lot to live up to because when you get drafted that early and the team gives up a lot to trade up, it really raises the expectation level. I think I saw some of Deshaun Watson. He looked pretty good. But, you know, a lot of times it's going against, you know, these vanilla defenses you see in the preseason. And believe me, when NFL defense is facing a rookie in the regular season, you know, they're licking their lips. You know, they're throwing all kinds of blitzes and coverages at the guys. But, you know, these guys, they're the future, you know, because the NFL needs quarterbacks. And that's one of the reasons I don't want to see the NFL expand, because there's not enough legit starters to go around. And when you see a team that's got two backups and no starters at quarterback, that's a dreadful offense to watch.
Okay. Well, how about this week? And believe it or not, Jeff, I just looked at the schedule this week. And starting on Saturday. Forget about tomorrow. Starting on Saturday, I'm talking about these young quarterbacks and who they go up against, what kind of defenses they go up against. How about Deshaun Watson going up against the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and what he likes to do with rookie quarterbacks? How about Mitchell Trubisky going down to Arizona and playing that Arizona defense? How about Deshaun Kaiser hosting your New York Football Giants on Monday? So what I'm saying is this. They're going to be tested this week. I really believe that. They're going to be tested this week. I don't know how much of playing against the ones that they're going to get. But because of what they did, I got a feeling that their coaches are going to just to see what these guys are made of, are going to make sure these guys get some reps against the ones to see how they handle it. All these guys' quarterback positions or scenarios, I should say, are not etched in stone. So depending on how they are played in the games against decent defenses like New England, like Arizona, like the Giants, will go a long way on how much of the third game, because that's really the dress rehearsal for most of these starters and guys that are going to be starting the third game in the preseason. So, Kaiser, Watson, and Trubisky are going to be, I think, tested this week, going against some pretty good defenses. And I'm looking at Mahomes. And Mahomes is going to go in Cincinnati and play against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, We're going to have to see and wait and see how much of a how much poise these guys have playing against much higher caliber defense or players in the defense than they did last week. What's your thoughts? That's pretty good. This week should be a pretty good test for these guys going up against the teams that they are going up against and the defenses that they're going up against. What's your thoughts?
I think week 3 is the probably the most important week in the preseason. That's when the starters play the most. But I still think, the defenses don't game plan and, they kind of, play it vanilla. They don't want to give away too much before the season.
Okay. I do believe that the guys have to play a little longer. I think they don't play that much on the first preseason game. They play a little longer in the second preseason game. They treat the third preseason game like a dress rehearsal. So they play a little longer into the game. But like I said, with the exception of Kansas City, Houston, Chicago, and Cleveland, that quarterback starting position, in my opinion, is up for grabs. So I think they're going to get more than enough opportunities in the next two games, preseason games, to see if they're worthy of being the starting quarterback going into the first game of the regular season. So we'll have to wait and see. I didn't really look at the schedule. I'm looking at it now, and like I said, the teams that they're going up against, I like their matchups, and I want to see what kind of poise each and every one of these guys have, and see if they can handle it. Cam Newton, there's a possibility that he may play. And I know I'm talking about quarterbacks, and we got another guy from the Carolina, and I'm not taking that call. I'm not taking that call. Caller from Carolina, you can hang on for as long as you want. I've gotten bitten 3 times, and it's not happened again. It's not happened again. So you can hold on all as long as you want, but you won't get answered by me. Anyway, I gotta see if Cam Newton's going to play. Ron Rivera said today that he's a little rusty. I think they're trying to stretch him out a little bit more, give him a little bit more reps in throwing the football. It'd be kind of tough for Cam to start even a series going up against a defense like Tennessee. I don't know if you want a chance your starting quarterback going up against a defense like Tennessee in Tennessee. What's your thoughts on that?
Who knows? We might not see Cam Newton at all this preseason. It wouldn't be the first time where there's a star quarterback who didn't play at all in the preseason. So, he might not play at all. Better safe than sorry, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I keep on saying this, and I'll say it until I'm proven wrong. Two quarterbacks that I will not even go touch or even think about because of shoulder injuries to each one of them. One had surgery. Both of them had surgery. But one's at least throwing on a regular basis now versus one that we don't know really what the hell's happening. Supposedly he's strong, but who knows what he's doing. I'm talking about Andrew Luck. That I would never touch, even though I may get burnt, I would never, ever touch this year in fantasy. Just like you thought your thoughts were on the flip of a coin and taking a risk and a high pick on a player, that the possibility he's an injury risk, same applies to the quarterbacks of Cam Newton and Andrew Luck. Shoulder injuries for quarterbacks, especially their throwing shoulder, is And they're being, I wouldn't say babied, but they're being brought along slowly, which tells me that they're not progressing as quickly as most people, including their trainers, probably thought they would be. So that they're being extra cautious because of, for whatever reason, I can't guarantee that they're going to be available for all the season. Cam Newton's one of the most hit quarterbacks in all of football. And Andrew Luck, if he's not ahead of him, he's not too far behind him with that horrible offensive line, which hasn't improved that much that you would feel comfortable drafting Andrew Luck. Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, what's your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Yeah, Luck's a guy, and I think a lot of people feel this way, to stay away from. I think there's a good chance he's going to start the season on the PUP, physically unable to perform. Sounds like a personal issue list. It's happened before. And the thing is, and this is such a joke in the NFL, that teams, they're supposed to disclose injury information, which, I mean, the Patriots have made a mockery of that. But they don't have to disclose as much in the preseason. I think there's a very strong chance that Luck does begin the season on the PUP. And that's a minimum 6 weeks. And then, that's almost half the fantasy season right there. And even if he was good to go for week seven, I don't know if I don't like starting a guy his first game back from a long layoff. So Andrew Luck, still an excellent player, probably has a lot of good things ahead of him. But I think, based on the team he's with and, his talent and whatever, people just assumed he was going to be the next Peyton Manning, and not quite, but there's only one Peyton Manning, so.
That's true. And I'm staying on the theme of quarterbacks. It seems like I got a quarterback, Jones, to itch this week. Coming down from the broadcasting booth, even though he never was up there, but supposedly coming down from the broadcasting booth and onto a Miami blue uniform. Jay Cutler, who made his debut tonight against the, I think it's Baltimore Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, against the Baltimore Ravens in Miami. Teaming back up with Adam Gase, and have to see what the Jay Cutler is made of. Now, like I said, it's being played now. It's not on regular TV, maybe locally or whatever, but you can watch it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at midnight, if you're up that late, or record it and watch it at midnight. I try to get as many of these preseason games as I can. I've seen some guys that I may be targeting late in drafts already. We'll have to look at Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins and see who's played, and also on the Baltimore Ravens, who's played, who didn't play, and get an idea of what the two teams fantasy-wise look like. What's your thoughts on Mr. Cutler coming back or coming out of the booth and playing for $10 million? And his wife said, he wanted him out of the house, go play football. So Jay Cutler with the Miami Dolphins, the unlikely starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins because of Ryan Tannehill, who's supposed to have surgery, I think today or tomorrow, something like that.
Yeah. Jay Cutler has been an enigmatic figure for a long time. I think his wife and or his agent said, put down your beer and your pork rinds. You can make $10 million this year because you're not going to make $10 million doing anything else. And I, you know, the thing is, when you twist a guy's arm to take a job just for the money, you get a Phil Jackson in New York situation.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, the thing is with Jay Cutler, I mean, you know, believe me, you know, he had a great arm. He probably still does. But, you know, he didn't have – I mean, he is familiar with the offense, which is a plus. Very important if you're, you know, bringing in a quarterback, you know, after camp starts. But I could see him, you know, if he plays lousy – I don't think it would bother him too much, you know, because he's getting $10 million. He's
right.
laughing his way all the way to the bank, you
yeah.
know, plus he's got some incentives in there. And I'll tell you, I really would like to see Matt Moore, opening day starter, and him keep the job as long as he's playing well. It might not happen because the Miami owner doesn't want to pay a guy $10 million to sit on the bench. But, you know, to me, you know, you hate to see a guy playing well get put on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it reminds me a little of when Brett Favre signed with the Jets because, well, I think that was – there was a trade. But the similarities were Cutler has the same agent, and these agents have a lot of power behind the scenes, Bus Cook as Favre, and the Dolphins have Tannenbaum, the same gentleman who was GM of the Jets at the time of the Favre deal. So there are some similarities. I don't quite know what it means, but don't know if it's a conspiracy, but, you know, I love a good conspiracy as much as anybody. So, but the thing is, Cutler was kind of like a poor man's Brett Favre, you know, for most
mm-hmm.
of his career. So he didn't win as much. He wasn't as well liked. But I'll tell you, with Favre, you know, he was a fun guy to watch play. But his act got old. It really
yeah.
did.
Yep.
It you know, because the media loved him, and by the end of his career, That wore off, and a lot of the fans got sick of him. Even the Green Bay fans who loved him, they got sick of him. But, you know, that's life. And, you know, I give the Dolphins ownership credit for, you know, making a move that cost them money. But, you know, none of the Dolphin fans could say that they're cheap or anything. And, you know, when Tannehill went down, I thought, you know, okay, they need to bring in another quarterback. I wasn't thinking Cutler. I was just thinking somebody just to, you know, put behind Matt Moore. But, you know, looks like Dolphins ownership is serious about winning, that they're not afraid to pay the big bucks.
Speaking of being afraid and staying in the AFC East, two quarterbacks splitting snaps with their first team offense during today's practice, Josh McGowan, Christian Hackenberg. Looks like those two quarterbacks are competing for the starting job, with maybe McGowan due to his experience having the edge. But as the old adage is, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. What's your thoughts? I'm on the quarterback thing here, and I'm all the end of the program on the quarterback. Josh McGowan and Christian Hackenberg. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm not a big Christian Hackenberg fan. I mean, I didn't even like him in college, you know, where he earned the name Christian Sackenberg. He had one good season at Penn State, and then I think had two or three disappointing seasons afterwards. That's not the kind of development you like to see going into the pros. You know, McCown, you know, he's a good backup, and he looks like a little bit like Dolph Lundgren, the guy who played Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. I saw a guy the other day who looked like he could have been related to both of them. But, you know, this looks like a rebuilding year for the Jets, so I don't think they want to play McCown, but I think even if McCown's the starter, it gets a little more time to develop Hackenberg. It's hard to imagine McCown starting the whole season because, you know, I think he's 37, 38 years old, and I think they want to know what they have in Hackenberg, and if not him, Bryce Petty, which, you know, I don't know why they – I mean, it was, I think, only a fourth-round pick. I don't know why they went with Bryce Petty. I don't think he took one snap from center in college. It's just that's too raw for me. You know, do a lot of shotgun in the NFL, but you still, you know, you got to take snaps from center. You got to throw from the pocket. I don't see spending a pick on a guy like Bryce Petty, but yeah, hey, he's got a shot to play a little this year.
Okay, and we got about 4 minutes left in the program. Since I'm still on the subject of quarterbacks, I might as well end it one more time with one more quarterback that I was drafted the same draft as Jameis Winston. They went 1-2. I'm talking about Marcus Mariota, who's coming off a leg injury, but he's practicing. He's been playing. So, and people are thinking that he's going to take another leap. Which, to tell you the truth, I think he will, and I think he's a more accurate quarterback, a more accurate thrower than Jameis Winston. Excuse me, Jameis Winston, and he's more judicious with the football. He's got a strong running game with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, and he's getting some weapons on the outside. Even though Eric Decker's a little banged up right now, Corey Davis is coming back from an injury, but I think he'll be ready to go start in the beginning of the season. He already has Delanie Walker, who's been the most who's led the team in targets and receptions in the last couple of seasons at least. So he's got some weapons with a decent defense that I think Marcus Mariota, the way they run that offense and the way he is careful with the football, will have a very good year. And I didn't even talk about his running ability, which makes him a dual-threat quarterback. What's your thoughts on Mr. Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, I'm a little wary of him. Another gentleman coming off of an injury. So, has he played in the preseason yet?
I thought he played a limited time in the first game. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're probably going to try to get him in some reps this game. I'm not sure about that though. I'm not sure. I can look in the box score and see what's going on. Let me see if he played or not. Preseason game one. See if he played. I could be wrong, but come on. Really? Oh, here we go. He's in game one. Where is he at? Tennessee. Here it is. Tennessee. No, he did not play. He did not play in the first preseason game. So I imagine that they're going to try to probably get him a couple of reps, just a couple, maybe a series or two. Nothing that's going to put him in harm's way, just to get him in some game time action, and then quite naturally give him a little bit more on next week. And then nothing on the last preseason game. But he's different, in my opinion, for the simple reason that it was a leg injury, not that I'm discounting his leg injury, and it's not something that he needs like a shoulder to throw. So it's a leg injury. He took the time to get it healed, and I think he's ready to go. It's just a matter of what kind of risk they want to put him in before the regular season. We got We got about 10 seconds. We're going to go over a little overtime. Jeff, your thoughts before we close the show out.
Well, it's preseason, so the players are getting in shape, and the fantasy football players are getting in shape too. So I'd like to wish everybody luck with your drafts, and be prepared.
Okay, people, next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is where we'll be at. The FSP Crew Show will be here. And hopefully we don't get barraged with calls like we got tonight. It is what it is. Tune in 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday afternoon, where Vic will be the host. I'll be the co-host of the FSP Show. And on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll be the host of the Master Plan. I've done quarterbacks. I've done wide receivers. This week, coming up on the 20th, yes, the 20th, which is this Sunday, will be the tight ends, 1 to 25 with some sleepers mixed in there also. Until then, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the night, and hopefully we'll see you on the weekend in one of those shows. See ya.
Yeah. Mr. Anchor, Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew.